Join the Wall Street Journal for the WSJ Risk and Compliance Forum happening online May 9th. Together with experts, we'll unpack the latest Russia sanctions, data privacy laws, climate risks, and more. You'll take away a playbook of practical advice that you can use and implement on day one. Register now at wsj.com/risk and save 20% on your ticket using code PODCAST.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, April 11th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. For 5 years, Dara Khosrowshahi has been steering Uber through regulatory issues, market expansion, and a global pandemic. But it wasn't until last September, as a shortage of drivers hit the company, that the CEO actually got behind the wheel himself. So what did Khosrowshahi learn shuttling passengers and delivering food around San Francisco? And are those lessons paying off for Uber and its drivers? Our ride-hail and food delivery reporter Preetika Rana joins us to explain the experiment and its results. That's after these headlines. Shipments of PCs dropped 26% in the first quarter compared with the same time last year, according to market research firm International Data Corp. IDC said out of the top PC makers, Apple, which commands over 7% of the global PC market, saw the biggest decline in shipments. But Lenovo, HP, and Dell all shipped fewer computers as the industry grapples with a pandemic-driven surplus in inventory. National Public Radio's Twitter account is no longer labeled as U.S. state-affiliated media. Instead, Twitter is describing it as government-funded media in a tag near the top of the broadcaster's profile. The change came after NPR complained last week that the designation was disturbing and unacceptable. NPR hasn't sent out any tweets since April 4th, when employees discovered the state-affiliated media designation. NPR and Twitter didn't immediately return requests for comment about the change. The state-affiliated media categorization is mostly given to media companies influenced by authoritarian governments. The government-funded label has also been given to the UK's BBC. The broadcaster on Monday objected to the description, saying they receive funding through a license fee paid by the British public. And the next audiobook you listen to may be narrated by a dead person. Deep Zen, an artificial intelligence startup based in London, is using AI technology to bring new life to the voices of the departed. Cheap production costs mean more audiobooks may be voiced by AI, and it can be hard to tell the difference. Take a listen to this clip from actor Edward Herman, who's been dead for almost a decade.
In the claustrophobic atmosphere of Washington, anything seemed possible. And Jefferson, who liked to cultivate the air of a philosopher who was above the merely political, found himself in a struggle to secure his own election.
And here's that same clip using AI that mimics Herman's voice.
In the claustrophobic atmosphere of Washington, anything seemed possible. And Jefferson, who liked to cultivate the air of a philosopher who was above the merely political, found himself in a struggle to secure his own election.
It sounds nearly identical. Google Play Books and Apple Books are already carrying AI-narrated books in their catalogs. But some audio publishers, like Audible, the largest U.S. audiobook service, does not offer synthetic narration, saying professional narration will, quote, remain core to the Audible listening experience. Okay, after the break, your Uber driver, Dave Kay, in the gray Tesla, will be arriving soon. We'll discuss why his experience driving is having a big impact on the company. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Danny Lewis.
And I'm Alex Osola. On the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast, we explore the projects reimagining the world of tomorrow.
Like using sound to rejuvenate coral reefs.
Moving microchips beyond silicon.
Silicon is no longer energy efficient.
And how animals are helping treat human diseases. The future of everything is happening right now.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
If you caught an Uber ride in San Francisco last September with a driver named Dave K, you may have actually been shuttled around by the ride-hailing company's CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi. It was the latest move by Khosrowshahi to reinvent Uber since taking the helm of the company 5 years ago. Our ride hail and food delivery reporter, Preetika Rana, is with us to discuss what he learned. Hi, Preetika. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Zoe. Great to be here.
So let's talk about this experiment by Uber's CEO. Why did he decide to do this, to become a driver temporarily and a food deliverer?
It all started because both Uber and Lyft were struggling with a years-long driver shortage after the U.S. reopened from pandemic lockdowns, and drivers just weren't coming back. And so initially, Uber tried to attract them with bonuses and money, and some of them came back, but not as many as the company had hoped. So that was really a moment of reckoning where Uber said, okay, we're coming out of the pandemic and drivers have a lot more options now. You know, grocery, food delivery services had taken off. And it was a wake-up moment where Uber realized, all right, we actually have to become a better employer, so to speak, a better app for drivers to drive if we want them to come back.
You spoke with Dara. What was he like as a driver?
So the CEO of Uber gets anxious the nights before he has to drive, because right now he is a perfect five-star driver and he worries that any small thing could mean that his rating could dip just the next day. So one instance that I found particularly entertaining is Uber's network got hacked late last year and it was a big deal. Dara was actually driving a customer to the airport at the time that that happened. And he had to ignore frantic calls from his chief legal officer. He just didn't want to take a call while he was in the car with a rider. There are some other things he does just to seem polite and just to seem like a helpful driver. One is he keeps charging cables, both for Apple and Android users. He tries to entertain riders with music. He has tons of Spotify playlists. Taylor Swift is on that playlist, a DJ called Flume. So I found those details quite interesting because for me, they humanized the driving experience. One of the other things he ran into is just rude riders, which a lot of drivers unfortunately have to contend with.
How similar was his experience to what a regular driver would have? Because I think a lot of us have seen these, you know, the boss comes in and takes on, you know, a different job for a while. It never seems quite the same. So what was his experience like?
I mean, obviously, he didn't need the money. So that is, I think, one of the biggest differentials. What he did run into is some of drivers' biggest complaints. And when he did, that's when he realized, oh, drivers are actually right. We got to go in and actually fix some of these things. So one of the things was when he started delivering food in the summer of 2021, he hopped onto an electric bike and the sign-up process itself was what he called pretty clunky. Uber had a different sign-up process for whether you wanted to ferry people versus whether you wanted to deliver food. And that's when the CEO realized, hey, we have a food delivery business. Why aren't we leveraging this pool of workers better? Let's just create a single sign-up process. And so people could, you know, more seamlessly toggle between both. Something else that he ran into was this problem of tip baiting, which a lot of delivery drivers have been complaining about. People attract drivers. They want to get matched quickly to a driver because they want their food to get to them quicker. So they put in big tips. But once the food gets there, they lower the tip. So the CEO of Uber got tip baited and Uber's still trying to figure out a solution to that problem. But one of the things it started doing was it started taking away customers' ability in some markets to lower tips after their food got to them. But they found out, okay, that is actually reducing overall tipping on the app because people didn't want to be stuck with big tips beforehand. You know, suppose you get the wrong order or suppose your food never gets to you. They didn't want to be stuck giving a 25% tip.
So that was his experience as a food deliverer. What was his experience like as a driver?
So in September last year, after 5 years of leading Uber, you know, the CEO starts driving an Uber. And very immediately, he runs into, again, some of drivers' biggest complaints. One of them was this inability for drivers to see expected earnings and where that ride is going to take you beforehand. So drivers could see destinations up front, but only those drivers with high trip acceptance rates. So Dara starts rejecting trips, and immediately he's punished by the app, and the app takes away his ability to see destinations up front because his trip acceptance rate dips. So Uber had already been testing this in certain markets where it had taken away this restriction. It had let all drivers see destinations up front, but that market did not include San Francisco when Dara was driving. So his experience basically was so frustrating that he said, look, we gotta remove this restriction across all markets.
How are drivers reacting to these changes?
The drivers that I spoke to definitely recognize that everything from Uber's maps to its safety tools are much better than its competitor Lyft. But that said, there are many points that remain contentious. For one, drivers want better pay. They want more transparency over how fares are divided. So all in all, drivers seem to agree that, okay, this is a good start. But, you know, there's still a long way to go before the company can truly call itself driver-friendly.
So what is this going to mean for the company's future?
You know, having drivers that actually like driving on the app is a big plus, because now Uber's, you know, not the only company on the block for gig work. There are so many other services that boomed, you know, e-commerce, delivery services during the pandemic. So having a loyal driver base definitely makes it more competitive. So if it does have that supply of drivers, that definitely sets it up to expand more quickly into new categories.
All right, that was our ride hail and food delivery reporter, Preetika Rana. Thanks for joining us, Preetika.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival, when the Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today using code PODCAST to receive 20% off your ticket. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.